The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
It is truly an honor to be with you every day. This, I think, is, I go back to, this audience is going to be the one that saves the Republic in the end. I'll tell you why right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Megyn Kelly is getting hit for this piece that she has done with Alex Jones. Now, what's happening? Well, the families of Sandy Hook are complaining that you're legitimizing Alex Jones. No, the President of the United States has legitimized Alex Jones. Roger Stone, by being a fill-in host for Alex Jones, has legitimized Alex Jones. Donald Trump Jr., who has been on his show several times, has legitimized Alex Jones. Alex Jones is not this fringe character. The New York Magazine, New York Times, The New Yorker, they have also done profiles of Alex Jones.
And nobody wanted to shut them down.
Nobody wants to shut them down. But NBC and Megyn Kelly. Megyn does an interview where we played the audio. It comes up on Sunday. We played the audio for you yesterday. She's not doing a puff piece. She's not grabbing him by the throat and squeezing. But she is holding his feet to the fire. And she is allowing himself to hang himself with the American people, if that's even possible anymore. In the interview, he says, you know what story you're not covering is the animal-human hybrid story, where the government is breeding animals and humans together. Okay, thank you. He also says in this, and this is what is causing the controversy, that he has done, you know, he's played devil's advocate and said that no, Sandy Hook victims, they weren't real victims, they were actors. But he says on the show that he was just playing devil's advocate.
Right.
Let's play the actual audio of what he said.
They have staged events before, but then you learn the school had been closed and reopened, and you got video of the kids going in circles in and out of the building, and they don't call the rescue choppers for 2 hours, and then they tear the building down and seal it, and they get caught using blue screens, and a email by Bloomberg comes out in a lawsuit where he's telling his people, get ready in the next 24 hours to capitalize on a shooting. So Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids. And it just shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors. I mean, they even ended up using photos of kids killed in mass shootings here in a fake mass shooting in Turkey.
Let me tell you something. That is not playing devil's advocate.
That is
not devil's advocate.
That is something.
Advocate.
If I were his opinion,
and he's pushing that theory forward.
If I were a family member, and I don't know if you could do this for a public shooting, but I would be mad enough that I would be with an attorney saying, can we sue him? Can we sue him? My child is dead. My child is dead.
And you're accusing me of faking it.
Of faking it.
That child doesn't exist?
That's absolutely incredible. That's not playing devil's advocate. That is saying, well, let me give you what else he has said. Because he's now asking NBC, who is getting heat from both the right and the left and the families, getting heat for running this interview. Alex Jones...
He's demanding that they not run it.
Alex Jones himself is demanding that they don't run it.
Which is evidence why you should run it.
Why you should run it. He says that they need to cancel it because it's a hit piece. Because He's been taken out of context. Well, there's the context right there.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
In context.
Okay. He's also said 100% chance that the mass murder committed in Aurora, Colorado was a false flag, a mind control event.
So it's not just this shooting.
Quoting 1999 Columbine school shooting was, quote, extremely suspicious event that had globalist operations written all over it, end quote. Quote, Columbine as we know it was a false flag. I'd say 100% false flag. Tucson shooting, quote, the whole thing stinks to high heaven, end quote. San Bernardino shooting a false flag because governments want to, quote, blame the Second Amendment, end quote. Orlando, false flag to take your guns and speech. Boston Marathon, this thing stinks to high heaven, hashtag false flag, end quote. He said that Obama had married a man, Michelle Obama, because he's obsessed with transgender rights, end quote. If you take vaccines, quote, you'll become disabled or you will die, end quote. The government has, quote, a weather weapon that can create and steer natural disasters, end quote.
He claimed, you're not pretending you don't believe that.
He claimed Las Vegas cop shooting was absolutely staged by the government, quoting, globalists caused the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster to serve as, quote, a distraction from Iraq. And, of course, his all-time classic, 9/11 was an inside job. Popular Mechanics debunked it, but they only debunked it, quote, because they are part of the CIA. He also believes that the Bilderberg people go to the Bohemian Grove, quote, to eat gold-wrapped roasted babies.
He actually offered a cop $10,000 if he could disprove that.
Pizza.
How would you
disprove that?
I don't know. Pizza place.
They
have the gold all over their lips after they do
yeah,
it.
Right.
It's impossible to disprove.
What was the name of the place? The
Comet pizza. Ping Pong.
Comet Ping Pong Pizza. He said, quote, has a labyrinth of tunnels where children are used as sex slaves. He's had to apologize for that one. The latest is Chobani Yogurt is importing racists.
A rapist.
He had to pay a settlement on that. He said fluoride is poison and it's killing us all. That the Oklahoma City bombing was, quote, an inside job and a total false flag. The Gulf of Tonkin is a false flag.
Of course. It all starts there.
And my favorite, Pepsi has tested new flavorings of fetuses.
Well, I mean, listen to his case, though. You haven't heard his case.
Okay, I haven't.
I know that there are fetal tissues in a lot of the medical treatments, in the vaccines, and they are in a lot of the cosmetics. That's confirmed.
That's confirmed.
We know Pepsi's involved with companies that do use the fetal parts, and we do know that it's been tested in flavor enhancement.
Because there's nothing more delicious than a fetus.
No,
that's pretty well known. Right?
No, when you have an aborted baby, you think to yourself, I wonder if we could mix this in a drink to make it taste better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think.
If I combine this with some nutmeg, it's going to be delicious.
Again, he said in there, because they're training us to be cannibals. Now, how can you do an interview with this guy and normalize him? How can you do when the president has been on his show, the president's son has been on his show, the president's advisors have been on his show?
You're not normalizing.
You're not normalizing. You're exposing him.
Of course.
Now,
I mean, we have got, this is a country that has its journalists go and interview Assad and Ahmadinejad and
Putin.
She just interviewed Putin.
They go to prison and interview people on death row who have murdered.
Charlie Manson
has been interviewed multiple times.
I mean, look, Alex Jones, I think, is terrible for the country.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, why on earth can he not?
Because I have an answer. I have an answer to this, and it goes to why I am thrilled to have this audience and to be able to talk to you every single day. Because there is something different about this audience, and this audience is growing. This hunger is growing. And I'll tell you what it is coming up in a second.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
So I started the hour with I want to thank you for being here every day. I want to thank you for listening to this program, and it's an honor to serve you. And here's why. I have said, I think, almost since 9/11, haven't I, Stu, that this audience is going to be the one that rescues the free world, that rescues the country. And I've always believed that, and I don't know why. Let me give you two reasons. And I'm going to give you the first reason is has direct correlation to what is happening right now with this argument in the country about Alex Jones. Alex Jones, in this interview on NBC with Megyn Kelly, they're now pulling sponsorships. JP Morgan Chase has now pulled their sponsorship from that show on Sunday.
I don't know if they've officially pulled. They were asking to be moved, though, I think, out of it.
Okay. Are you kidding me? Time magazine made Hitler the man of the year. What has happened to our country where we are? And please, hear me out. Please explain this to your friends this way. What do you think of safe zones on schools?
I think they're ridiculous. I think they're absolutely, that's hogwash, safe zones in schools.
Then why can't you handle an interview with something that you don't like? Why can't you handle the news that exposes you to things that you don't necessarily agree to? Question with boldness. Thomas Jefferson, even the very existence of God, Pat, 1774, when he wrote that, was there a more dangerous thing to question than God?
No.
I mean, that was insanity. Nobody questioned God. Question with boldness, even the very existence of God. For if there be a God, he must surely rather honest questioning over blindfolded fear. Now, the key is honest questioning. That's the real problem. There isn't anybody in journalism that is doing honest questioning. I'm sorry, that is too much to say that. There are fewer people than we have had in the past. And there are more voices that are just throwing out red meat. And quite honestly, in the past, mine included, that's not going to get us anywhere. Because we're all starting to go into our caves. And here's what's going to happen. If these boycotts continue, where they are affecting NBC and a real journalist sitting down with a controversial newsmaker, then you won't have any news. You know where you'll get your news? NPR and PBS. They will nationalize the news. Congratulations on that. Because they will say, we can't afford it. So the government needs to underwrite it. You want to know where the boycotts lead? It leads to the BBC. Well, we'll have our own voice. Will you? Will you have your own voice? Will you have your own voice online? Because what will the national news media say about the voices online? I can tell you right now.
Fake news.
Ted Koppel says fake news. We should license people to be able to put their opinions online. That's the crazy world we're entering in. Now, what we're feeling is chaos. We are feeling disruption happening in the old world and in this new world, and it's going to be tough to get through. But because you are who you are and you understand honest questioning, you understand there are no safe zones in life. You understand the First Amendment to mean no infringement on the press. No infringement on the press. Because you know what that means. And you know that when that was written, there was no licensed press. That's anybody who wants to write a story. And then you hold yourself to honest questioning. you are going to be the audience that saves the world, because every other audience is starting to run and hide from the things that make them uncomfortable. We all should be doing one thing every week that puts us in an uncomfortable position. You should be challenging yourself, your friends, challenging yourself to meet new people, to get new experiences at least once a week. You should say, whew, I can't believe I just did that. That was cool. That was a little scary, but that was cool. We're calcifying. Break that up. Liberty isn't freedom, as they say, isn't free. Liberty isn't free. Liberty takes work. Mind work. It doesn't take guns. It takes nimble minds. Let me say this. Right now, we're living in a world where you cannot define right and wrong. Can't define it. What is right and what is wrong? People in school are being taught that there is no right or wrong. 2 + 2 = 5 if you can show me the work. The same time we are taking apart every single truth that we know, we are now entering a world where we are programming AI. Well, we have to have certain axioms that we know are true as we program AI. Human life is paramount. If we don't teach it that truth, if we teach it all truth is subjective, what do you think is going to happen? When AI is asked, can you solve these problems? Sure I can. Humans are a virus. Humans are causing the problems. How can we possibly wrestle with the questions that we need to program AI if we can't decide on truth? If we can't even have a conversation that explores the truth?
I mean, and that doesn't even address the problem of animal-human hybrids.
It doesn't even touch the half-fish people.
The half-fish people who like when you go to a zoo.
It doesn't.
And you see a turtle and you feel for them.
Yeah.
Because they're scraping at the sides. Grass, I mean, that's, I guess, a very natural
human emotion.
They're
looking at you with the big eyes.
Yeah.
I would say puppy dog eyes, but they're little childlike
and
eyes.
And you can see a tear just begin to drip down its...
It's usually because it's wet, actually. Yeah, it's water.
It just got out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, their tear ducts have been sealed by DHS agents. With caulking.
Now, we don't usually tell that story on the air because it's too fantastical.
Too fantastical. too
fantastical. Right. But sometimes
he tells the story.
You know, the new Miss USA is a nuclear scientist.
Thank you.
He's a high-pitched voice in some...
Much higher voice than normal.
Yeah.
That? Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
Uh-oh.
I was told by a genetic engineer.
It was so good.
About a project they were on in England once, and I never told the story on air because it's so fantastical. Oh, God. They had in tanks people with gills, and they're little babies, and they were in there just gulping, clawing at the sides. You see a turtle at the
now
zoo,
he's...
and it comes out, and you feel for it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They got humanoids crossed with fish and stuff.
Okay, so he's on Megyn Kelly this weekend saying that's real news that you guys aren't covering.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly, thank you for not going over the cliff with the rest of humanity. And this audience, same for you. Thank you.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Jim DeMint, in his first interview since leaving the Heritage Foundation, how did that go? Why did he leave the Heritage Foundation? What happened? There's stories going both ways. We'll get it right from the horse's mouth coming up in just a little while. And also, he's going to tell us about his new job, which I think is fantastic. And next hour, about an hour from now, we're going to give you some new news about Russia hacking. This is really critical that you understand, because we're not talking about today or any American players. What we're talking about is 2018, 2020, 2024. Russia, the evidence is now out.
And the story has broken today in one place. I don't think that you have seen it. It just broke about 40 minutes ago. And it is pretty darn compelling. And a conversation that we have to have as Americans without any of the politics, because it has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Nothing. It has everything to do with what I believe is an act of war. If they would have done this at any other time, it would have. You've seen the results. You've seen this story today.
Mm-hmm.
Act of war, Pat?
Oh, absolutely.
Act of war?
Yeah, entirely. Absolutely.
Act of war, Jeffy?
You have to.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I mean, any other time, it would have been an act of war. It is really shocking and important stuff. But I want to go back here to the Megyn Kelly story. Alex Jones is now asking that they don't run the story of him. And I'm sure he's saying that because I'm sure... Well, we know it. He said to Megyn Kelly, it's in the promo.
Yeah, well, you won't do real stories, fake news.
What real stories haven't we covered, Alex?
You know, animal-human hybrids.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, got me on that one. Yeah, I haven't covered that at all.
At all.
Woo! You're the exclusive on that one.
And you can have it. So he's now asking for it to be pulled. I don't know if NBC has the guts to run this because they're afraid of the parents. And I understand you don't want to reinflict wounds on those parents.
And here's the problem with her being at NBC now. Fox News is used to this nonsense. NBC's not. Yeah. NBC, that nobody's calling for them to take interviews off or shut them down or boycott them.
I am telling you now that every single person, Bill O'Reilly, I've given him this advice a million times. Bill, do what I did and go and start your own thing online subscriptions. Now, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it much different than I did now. We were the first. If you remember right, wrestling hadn't gone online yet. I don't think HBO had gone online. It was us and Netflix, I think. And
Netflix was certainly there.
Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we were the first to do it. Now, everybody's thinking, well, maybe I should do it. Yes, because these boycotts are going to lead to either a collapse of the news system, a resetting into national news like the BBC, and or... people like me coming in and doing their own thing online only and maybe doing something and feeding it out to Netflix or Amazon or whoever is online. But the advertising thing is over. It's over, at least for a time period. It's going to be over. We're killing our food source.
It's so bizarre, too. I mean, no one on earth would think that J.P. Morgan Chase agrees with the things that Alex Jones is going to say in this interview.
Nobody
would associate them. Uh-uh. Oh, wow, you know what, J.P. Morgan Chase, I'm going to pull my money out because they ran an ad on an adversarial interview with a conspiracy theorist.
Why was there a single ad in Time magazine when Adolf Hitler was named the Man of the Year?
Because he should have been named Man of the Year. He was absolutely the most influential person in
Wasn't Osama bin Laden named the Man of the Year?
I don't remember, maybe. Because that is not a positive
and if,
award.
And if, not, so. If not, he should have been. And I think that he wasn't named the Man of the Year if he wasn't, most likely because everybody's like, oh, I don't know, we don't want to make him the. We don't want to make him bigger. He was the guy who changed the course of the country.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's completely legitimate. Now, if Megyn Kelly did an interview in which she said, wait a minute, I have not heard. You're saying that Sandy Hook didn't happen? This evidence is overwhelming. I can't believe people aren't talking about this. Tell me more. If she did that interview, I would at least understand it from these advertisers.
I personally think she is.
She didn't. She's obviously not doing that.
She is going to be the Barbara Walters of this generation. And I don't mean that with all the political ramifications now. I mean that the way we used to mean Barbara Walters 30 years ago. She's going to be the one that will get all of the big interviews. And she will sit down and she will make these people feel comfortable. And they will spill their guts to her. And she'll let you decide.
Yeah. And I mean, can we stop with this idea that if you don't like the thing you're hearing, you pull your advertising?
Please stop.
Why can we not be comfortable? I know I'm cynical, but I'm getting to the point where outside of the people listening to my voice currently, I have no faith in humanity. If you can't, the only the people that show up to this show, the only people I'm confident in that actually don't mind hearing opinions that are different than their own, don't mind being challenged, want to wake up every day and have something that challenges their worldview.
I want you to know that as an audience member, wear this as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
You know that this show and you are not going to go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I don't care what the rest of humanity does or says. I don't care if they want to tell me and throw me in jail until I say 2 + 2 = 5. It's 4. And I am not going to go over the cliff with the rest of the humanity. I will go to my dying breath. Long live the Republic. It's 4. It will always be 4. That's how you have to be. And that's who this audience is. Let me tell you another story. I was this weekend, as we were coming home from vacation, we stopped at a Labor of Love event.
Oh,
now, we've talked about Labor of Love before. They were the people that went to Israel. They were all on a bus together, Red Bus A, I think. And they were all on this bus together. And I put up the challenge of, you know, you've got to serve. You got to get out and you got to do something. You have to be the change that you seek.
They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. So they made this 6 years ago. They made this pledge to each other. They came home. They didn't know each other before. They all live all over the country. I went to an event this weekend. 50 families showed up. They will not take donations. And none of them are rich. They're all fairly living on the edge. And they won't take donations. They have each family pays what they can and saves themselves to go. There were people that had driven there from Kentucky, from Indiana, Ohio. I know I'm going to leave some out. Arizona, Texas, Florida, California, Utah, and Idaho.
And where was the event?
It was in Idaho. It was in Utah.
Utah. Mm.
And they came from all over the country, and they do this. The next one, I think, is I don't know for sure, but like they've done them all over the country, and these people drive or fly, some of them by themselves, for days. So I went there, and my kids got a paintbrush, and we were this old couple that we saw. The first house was this old couple. He was a Korean War veteran and his wife. He had told me he was great to talk to. He lives in this little town called Lewiston, and there's probably 40 people that live in town. It's a little teeny 10-block town. I said, how long you lived here? He said, well, I've moved 4 times in my life. I said, really? Where'd you move? And he said, and he kind of looks past a tree and he says, well, I lived over there. And I said, so you've lived in Lewiston your whole time? He said, oh yeah, I've moved 4 times, but never out of Lewiston. It's 10 blocks. Okay. he was a sweet old guy who they just don't have the energy to do anything. Their barn was coming down. Their trees were not trimmed. Kids grab a paintbrush. They're 50 people, most of them with kids, teenagers, and just below. And they're all doing service work. They go to this other house and this wheelchair ramp this lady had. She could only afford when they built it. They built it out of press wood. What do you call that? A particle board. Imagine with snow and rain how long that lasts. It was like cardboard. She got a wheelchair. So they went out and they bought all the stuff themselves and they rebuilt this ramp for the lady. This audience is unlike any other audience I've ever met. This audience is spectacular. This audience is the best of us. It really is. Recognize that. Revel in that. Wear that as a badge of honor. Mm. You're not going to shrink away
from the tough news. You're not going to shrink away from the truth. You're going to explore the truth. You're going to share the truth. You're going to be the one that says, I'm sorry, but I am not going over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Come this way. Come this way. Remember, I've told you that for years. You're going to have to know what the truth is. So when everybody starts to go, you say, stop. Come this way. Don't go there. Come this way. Now is that time. And you are those people. That's why I started the show today with, it's an honor to serve you. It really is an honor to serve you because I know who you are. And we're in it together, and it's going to be good.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Glad you're here. There is an update. Do you have the update from North Korea, Pat? They have just released one of the
students. Yeah, it looks like they released I think Otto Warmbier. Does that sound?
Yes.
Is that the student that?
Yes.
Yeah, he took the poster and he wanted a souvenir. And they were on some kind of trip to North Korea with his group or something, a singing group, I think. And so he removed a poster from the wall. And was imprisoned, and they gave him a sentence for 15 years
and
hard labor.
Yeah, I think he served a year and a half, hasn't he?
At least that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was too long.
So they finally released him.
Yeah, Tillerson announced today that they have released him.
He's on his way back to the United States, which
thank God for that.
So great.
Now, how many others do we have? We have that professor that they just took.
Yeah.
I think we have two professors that they just took.
And it seems to me like there's three or four.
I have to tell you, I mean, do you take a job as a professor in North Korea?
No, yeah. I don't.
I mean, there's two reasons to do it. You're either a spy or you really believe that you can make a change there somehow or another.
This happens with the doctors. I mean, you know, they have these very basic ailments that any country on earth can fix incredibly cheaply. But because North Korea is so insulated and they won't allow anyone else inside, generally speaking, they won't allow capitalism at all. These people wind up being, for example, blind their entire lives with, you know, cataract problems that can be easily with an easy surgery repaired. Mm-hmm. So these doctors go in on their own volition with, it's really incredible stories. And they go in there and they'll go through and they'll fix, you know, 100 people on one trip with these surgeries. And now they were blind and now they can see.
And you know, it's amazing. We've seen the video. They thank the chairman. They open their eyes. They don't thank the doctor. They go find the picture of Kim Jong-il and they kiss and thank the picture of Kim Jong-il for saving their sight. It's crazy. But that's how screwed up they are. So, but my point is, you either go there because you're a spy, or you are on some mission of some sort yourself.
You believe it that much.
You believe that you can help the suffering, relieve the suffering. And if that's you, then you got to know, I got a chance of being in jail or whatever because, there's a paranoid nation.
And of course, the third scenario being if you're Dennis Rodman. Who is also on his way there, I believe.
He's already there.
Right? Is he there? Yeah. Has he landed?
He's there. And does he have something to do with the release of the kid, of the student?
I'm just going to say yes because it's interesting. Yes, it's true. Yes, he did it. It was Dennis Rodman who did it.
So he's a good rebounder and
great defender.
A great hostage
negotiator.
Mm-hmm, that's Dennis.
So
what is his deal over there? Paid for that?
I don't know.
Well, he's wearing his big sponsorship. I mean, he's thanking his big sponsorship and wearing the t-shirts of potcoin.com.
Potcoin? What is Potcoin?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But that's what he thinks. So it's probably his own.
It's like Bitcoin or something?
Or Pol Pot t-shirts.
Very well.
I don't know what. It's Dennis Rodman. Could be. It makes it more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yes.
The advertising has more.
Let's go with that.
It's something to do with Pol Pot. Yes. Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
We were really excited when Jim DeMint went to the Heritage Foundation. Jim DeMint, if you remember right, in the day, was the only guy in the Senate. This is before we had Mike Lee. This is before we had Rand Paul. This is before we had anybody. He was the lone guy back in 06, 07, and 08. And then the wave election happened. And then he left, went to the Heritage Foundation. I hated losing him in the Senate, but he thought he could make some real difference at the Heritage Foundation. I think he did, but they didn't like the direction. So he left. Where is he now, and what happened at the Heritage Foundation? His first interview since leaving begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go to Jim DeMint now. Jim DeMint, formerly the former senator from South Carolina, and then with the Heritage Foundation for, I think, 4 years or so, and made a real impact there. Jim DeMint, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Glenn, I'm doing really well, and it's good to be back on your show.
Thank you, sir. Jim, I know you're such a Southern gentleman, you're not going to want to, you know, say anything bad about anybody, and I'm not looking for the bad stuff. But can you tell us what happened at Heritage? Because there's been these stories that, you were too conservative, that you were taking it too conservative. I don't know what that means for the Heritage Foundation, but trying to take it too conservative, and they wanted to be more GOP centric.
Well, Glenn, frankly, I don't know. The board just decided they wanted to do something different in the future. And frankly, I feel like Lord knows what he's doing, and where I am right now, I realize that I'm in a place where I can make a much bigger difference. There's some great people at Heritage, but I'm ready to leave that chapter behind and get back to work on two fronts. I realize, and I'm sure you see it from where you sit, that we can't just work in one area. It's not enough just to be a senator or elect a senator. We have to do a lot of things if we're going to stop this out-of-control federal government. And the two things I'm going to continue to work with conservatives on the Hill and try to equip them and support them, because as you mentioned when you started the show just a minute ago, is a lot of times it's just one or two people working to try to do the right thing and the system tries to take them apart. But I've also realized that no matter what happens, no matter who we elect, Congress is never going to stop spending, that they're going to keep spending and creating debt until we have some kind of crisis or meltdown. And our founders knew that that was a possibility. They gave us a fire alarm on the wall where it's to break the glass and pull the lever. And that's in Article 5 of the Constitution, where they said the states could come together and propose amendments to the Constitution. In this case, we have to get the states to force the federal government to have fiscal restraint, to limit its jurisdiction, and hopefully even to term limit members of Congress and maybe even the judiciary.
Okay, so you are now going to the Convention of States. What role of Convention of States project are you going to play there?
I'm what they call a senior advisor. I'll be working with Tom Coburn and a good team around the country to work with state legislators, because the secret here is to get 34 states to pass essentially the same call to convention. This is not a constitutional convention. It's nothing about a free-for-all to rewrite the Constitution. Article 5 is clear that states can propose amendments, and we want to propose particular amendments that will help force the federal government to not only balance its budget but limit taxes, but also limit what it can do because the 10th Amendment is clear that whatever is not prescribed to the federal government in the Constitution should be left to the states and the people, and the federal government has just run all over that. And so I look at my fight as I'm just fighting on two fronts. I'm not going to give up on helping conservatives, and we've started a new nonprofit to do that, but I'm working with the Convention of the States, hoping that the states will call a convention to propose amendments to limit the power and the spending of the federal government.
So, Jim, the Convention of the States, I think, has new life to it. And a lot of it is coming from places like California, of all places, to where liberals are saying, you know, the government's out of control. Yeah, because now your guy isn't in control. And California had a real movement to actually secede from the union. I think this is a real opportunity, but it also could be used to exploit the framework of Article 5. Are you reaching out to the people on the left who are more libertarian-minded? And are you concerned at all about a hijacking from the traditional left?
Glenn, that is one of the arguments that opponents of this use. But frankly, there is literally no chance that you're going to have a convention that proposes some kind of crazy amendment that in 38 states ratify. I feel much more comfortable in that check and balance than I do with what the courts could do in Washington or even what Congress can do. But you mentioned something that's very insightful, actually, because liberals, once they understand this concept, like it, at least a lot of them do, because they understand that what we're trying to do is not tell people what to do or to tell California they have to do something and South Carolina does something else. What we're talking about is where things are decided. And that's the difference here. The thing that creates disunity and all over the country now is you've got so many things being decided in Washington about what we should do and how we should live our lives. What we need to do is let states and local communities and people themselves make more of their own decisions. Mm-hmm. As long as power keeps gravitating to Washington, the more, I think, disunity we're going to have in America.
So let me take this now. I went for the liberals. Let me take this conservatives. Do you think that the conservatives fell asleep on Article 5 after Trump was elected? And has that changed?
No, I don't think so, because I believe most of what President Trump is trying to do are things that we agree with. But we see that ever since he was elected, they have made this big deal of Russia. If Russia did anything, that's on Obama. I mean, Obama was supposed to be watching our country and our and security systems and stuff like that. But I think what we've seen is, despite the strong personality of Trump, and he's put some good people in the agencies, they're still making it almost impossible for him to get anything done. And even with Republican majorities, we see in the budgets they pass that we're going to keep spending and keep growing the government. Hopefully we can have some small successes. But I don't think the country has fallen asleep. And I see this as a mission that the grassroots, that folks who are involved with the Tea Party, who are discouraged now, that people can see this is a very focused idea. That if we come together, this is maybe the only way we can restrain an out-of-control federal government.
Jim, who are you more disappointed with, Congress or the presidency? Because I have to tell you, Congress is, in my opinion, absolutely shameful. Shameful, the way they're acting and spending, and you know, the way they dealt with Obamacare is mind-boggling.
Yeah, I agree. No, I'm disappointed in Congress. I frankly think the Trump administration has done a lot of good things that they can do on their own. But they're in a box canyon. Everybody's shooting at them, including some Republicans. You go over to the White House, it's just surrounded by tents of media people who every day are looking for something they're doing wrong. But one of the things I want to do on the Hill is work with conservatives to try to make them more effective, because once you get there, whether you're in the House or the Senate, you're in your own little foxhole. Everybody's firing at you. Every time you try to do something right, they try to throw you off a committee or get you back home with your constituents. We can do a lot better uniting and equipping conservatives once they're elected. And that's what I'm going to try to do along with a small team, is to get them to work more closely together and try to protect those who are trying to do the right thing.
More with Jim DeMint, who's now one of the senior advisors of the Convention of States Project.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Former Senator Jim DeMint is with us now. He's with the Convention of States, just left the Heritage Foundation. Senator, let me ask you a couple of questions. As a former senator, it came out last night in a very weird sort of way. The head of Newsmax left the White House at 5:30, went over to PBS to do the NewsHour, and said that President Trump is considering letting go of Bob Mueller and shutting down the independent counsel. Paul Ryan said today he has confidence in Mueller. The White House has since denied that that is happening, but has said that he's at least thinking about it. What would your reaction be if you were a senator to something like that?
Well, I think now that he's in place, it would probably be a mistake for the president to terminate that. I think it was a mistake to appoint a special prosecutor, because if you look at how they've worked over the years, they almost have to find something. And if they can't find something that they were supposed to be looking at, they'll look at something else. And I was hoping when it happened that maybe it would settle the Russia thing, and Trump could go on to leading the country, but apparently they're not going to let that happen. So I just think now that he's in place, they're going to have to ride it out for a while, at least until there's some testimony that proves that Trump has not only never been under investigation, but there has been no evidence since all this started that Trump or his team had anything to do with it. If some more testimony like that, I think it would be good if members of Congress, particularly in the Senate, call on a resignation and the termination of official prosecutor. But the president needs some help with this. And so if all the Republicans are taking cover, it's going to be hard for him to do it himself.
Jim, there is evidence that came out today. We're going to share it in about 5 to 8 minutes. There is real disturbing evidence now that has nothing to do with Clinton or Donald Trump, that the Russians did target our election in incomprehensible ways and hit and actually broke into 37 of our states and got into the polling numbers in 37 states. Did not, luckily, affect the election. But that is the one thing that I got out of the testimony last week that I don't think the media or anybody else is paying attention to, because we're so busy playing politics. The Russians are not just coming. They're here.
Exactly, Glenn. That we've known for years, Russia has the most sophisticated propaganda machine in the world. They've been interfering in elections for decades. It's one of the problems we've seen in Ukraine and the former Soviet republics. They're constantly destabilizing governments and being engaged in elections. Everyone in the Obama administration knew that this was a risk. And the fact that it was not addressed, that more was not, is a gaping hole in our security. So it does concern me that our cybersecurity for our U.S. government and our country is so weak. We've lost Terry secrets, and now they're in our election booths.
We were talking about this earlier today. I think at any other time in American history, with what they did, what I believe they did with WikiLeaks, how they hacked into the DNC, and now we have stark evidence that they hacked into 37 states. I think at any other time in history, that would be akin to an act of war. Am I wrong or right historically?
It's definitely the new type of warfare, and we've lost billions of dollars in military secrets, not only to Russia, to China. We need to do a whole. I know I worked on it some in the Senate to build a better cybersecurity system, but the government is always 10 years behind, and they've been hesitant to use a lot of the private sector sources that have figured out what to do there. But we need to catch up on that because lives are at stake on our intelligence system, and certainly if our whole democratic system now is in jeopardy, that's a huge problem.
We're in Texas, Jim. I know 12 states now have called for the convention of states. 32 other states are considering it this year. I didn't think Texas was going to. I mean, first I thought it was insane that Texas wouldn't pass it. Then I thought, oh my gosh, the Texas legislature, they're just not going to do it. They eventually did. How are the other states shaping up? And did Texas make a difference in momentum?
Texas always makes a difference. That's one of the reasons we're working now with Texas on school choice. The more they set a pattern for the country in a positive way, the opposite of what California often does. But it's the grassroots strength of the conservative movement in Texas that made the difference with your legislature there, because there were a number of people trying to block it or hide from it. And that's what's happening around the country. The Convention of States Project is building a grassroots network of millions of people who come to understand that this may be the only way to save our country. And so they're engaged in every state. And then during the next legislative cycle, you're going to probably see 10 or 20 states in play with a lot of grassroots support. So that's what I'm going to do all over the country, call on people who've been trying to elect good people, who've worked in the Tea Party, who've been active, to come help us call this Article 5 Convention of the States.
And I really, truly believe this is the fix. This is the founder's fix. I wish we would have thought of it when the Tea Party was roaring, because we could have really gotten things done. We need people to be involved in the Convention of States. The things that you want to and believe you can get done if the convention is called?
It's in three categories. And the thing that interests me most about how we're doing it with the Convention of State Project is we're not proposing the specific amendments, because we found, like, for instance, if you're working on term limits, then everybody who wants term limits is going to disagree whether it's 6, 8, or 12 years.
Yeah.
But what we're doing are three areas that we will pass amendments that restrict fiscally what the federal government can do to borrow money. Generally, it will deal with an balanced budget, but also tax and spending restrictions. The other is jurisdiction and authorization. It will restrict what the federal government can do on the regulatory front, on what it can do, for instance, controlling education, health care, gives states much more latitude there. The third subject area is to put term limits on federal officials, congressmen, senators, and perhaps even federal judges.
What do you say to people who say, and I've got about 30 seconds for this answer, what do you say to people who say, you know, you put term limits on, then it's going to be the bureaucrats that are running everything?
That's just not true. Every time you have a new wave of people come in, they bring a lot of their own people. They want to get something done. They know they have a short period of time, and they're not going to put up with much of this. Let's do it after the next election. So it's a way to clean the place up and get people to think about the country rather than a political career.
It is always an honor to talk to you, Jim. Thank you so much for your service to the country. Thanks for what you did at Heritage Foundation. And now, joining the Convention of States Project. If you want to get involved with the Convention of States, how do you do it, Jim, quickly?
Well, you just go to the website. You just Google Convention of States Project, and you'll be right there on our site.
Back program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. We also have some commentary on this Megyn Kelly stuff with Alex Jones. She has just been disinvited to be the host of a Sandy Hook charity gala that's supposed to happen next Wednesday, because she was exposing. Now listen to the logic of this. Because she's exposing the guy, just like the New York Times has, just like New York Magazine has, just like we have, exposing Alex Jones to be the lunatic that he is, that says he's, by the way, asking for this not to play on NBC because he said he was taken out of context on Sandy Hook. I want to play the context of what he said on Sandy Hook. Here it is.
They have staged events before, but then you learn the school had been closed and reopened, and you got video of the kids going in circles in and out of the building, and they don't call the rescue choppers for 2 hours, and then they tear the building down and seal it, and they get caught using blue screens, and a email by Bloomberg comes out in the lawsuit where he's telling his people, get ready in the next 24 hours to capitalize on a shooting.
I haven't seen that.
So Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors.
So stop. So far as I know, Megyn Kelly has been the only one that has really pushed him on this. Everybody else has done profiles, but they have not pushed him on this. She pushed him on this. So far, a sponsor has been asked to be moved off of the show. For what? For Time Magazine putting Adolf Hitler on the cover and saying he was the man of the year in 1938? Awesome. Yes, he was the man of the year in 1938. To be able to have a logical, rational discussion with the irrational is important, not when he's a nobody, but when the president of the United States has given him press credentials and made him into a legitimate guy. I don't have White House press credentials. He does. He does. Shouldn't that guy be examined?
I mean, this exact show with this exact host 2 weeks ago interviewed Vladimir Putin. I can't stand Alex Jones. Other than the fact that he's hilarious, I never want to hear a word from him. But he's certainly not as bad as Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
Why on earth would you want to move your advertising out of this when clearly, and in her statement, she's released a statement about this.
This is her statement from being disinvited. We're going to get to the Russia stuff here in a second. Listen to this.
I understand and respect the decision of the event organizers, but of course I'm disappointed that I won't be there to support them on Wednesday night. I find Alex Jones' suggestion that Sandy Hook was a hoax as personally revolting as every other rational person does.
She has done a lot for Sandy Hook.
Yeah. It left me and many other Americans asking the very question that prompted this interview, which is a completely reasonable question. How does Jones, who traffics in these outrageous conspiracy theories, have the respect of the President of the United States and a growing audience of millions? President Trump, by praising and citing him, appearing on his show, and giving him White House press credentials, has helped elevate Jones to the alarm of many. Our goal in sitting down with him was to shine a light, as journalists are supposed to do, on this influential figure, and yes, to discuss the considerable falsehoods he has promoted with near impunity. How could you possibly pull out of an interview with a person who's taking that approach to Alex Jones? I mean, unless you're an Alex Jones fan, I mean, is J.P. Morgan Chase, are they just huge fans of Alex Jones? And they're just like, well, I don't like that they're attacking his Sandy Hook conspiracy that we really believe. Because that's the only reason you'd want to pull out of that interview.
No, the only reason, that's the logical reason. The emotional reason is the families are against this interview and nobody wants to stand against the families. But the families, it's the reason why we have a jury of our peers and the reason why we have a judge give the sentencing to the criminal and not the victim. In other countries, the victim gets to sentence. That's all emotional.
Yeah.
There has to be a line of separation. We'll get into this with Bill O'Reilly here in a second. First, let me tell you the breaking news today about Russia. Now, I said this yesterday when we got back. And in the think tank last night at 5 o'clock on the Blaze TV, I made a point again. This is the most critical point that we're getting on this Russia thing. Everything else is he said, she said. Everything else is, well, we don't know. There's an investigation going on. Or, well, Clinton did it. And, well, then Trump did it, too. And all of that's nonsense. It's nonsense. Pay no attention to it. It does not impact your life. This does. And this has nothing to do with politics and everything to do with the security of our country. Quote from Bloomberg, breaking today, exclusive story. Russia's cyber attack on the U.S. electoral system before Donald Trump's election was far more widespread than has been publicly revealed, including incursions into voter databases and software systems in almost twice as many states as previously reported. Now, understand, this story goes on to say it made no impact in the election. So this is not a, well, the Russians got him elected. That they weren't even, according to this, they're not even trying to do that. According to this, they were only trying to cause, what a surprise, chaos. In Illinois, investigators found evidence that cyber intruders tried to delete or alter voter data. The hackers accessed software designed to be used by poll workers on Election Day, and at least one state accessed a campaign finance database. Details of the wave of attacks in the summer and fall of 2016 were provided by three people with direct knowledge of the U.S. investigation into the matter. In all, Russian hackers hit systems in a total of 39 states. The scope and sophistication so concerned the Obama administration that they took an unprecedented step, complaining directly to Moscow over our modern-day Red Phone in October. The White House contacted the Kremlin on a back channel to offer detailed documents of what it said was Russia's role in election meddling and to warn that the attacks risked setting off a broader conflict. New details, buttressed by classified National Security Agency documents recently disclosed by The Intercept, show the scope of alleged hacking that federal investigators are scrutinizing as they look into whether Trump campaign officials may have colluded in the efforts. But they also paint a worrisome picture for future elections. Listen up. The newest portrayal of potentially deep vulnerabilities in the U.S. patchwork of voting technologies comes less than a week after former FBI Director James Comey warned Congress that Moscow isn't done meddling. Quote, they're coming after America and they will be back. So what this article is saying is they did spear phishing campaigns. And they went in and they tried to see if they could hack into first like the DNC and RNC. They got into the DNC. Then they went in and they tried to penetrate the companies that made the voting machines. I believe in two of those companies they got in. In 39 states, 39 states, they got to the county, was it the county level, Stu?
No, they went to the state level.
The state level.
And this actually is one things that protected us against it. Because
our republic.
The Russians, I mean, and you'd think with their mindset, how does the world work? It's top down. It's centralized government, right? In their mind, that's how the world works. And of course, with us, we have a federalist society. We have one of the things that made it difficult for them to hack in and do more damage.
Is all these little towns.
Well, it's all these little towns with all their different voting systems. And what happens is in these states, the localities feed the information up to the states. So if they were able to delete all this, the voting rolls in the states, it wouldn't have necessarily made a difference because it's the localities that actually house
now,
the information.
Here's what's interesting. Did you notice what Bloomberg said? Did anything stick out to you in this on anything?
I mean, a lot of it. What are you looking for?
Okay, so this line. This is the newest portrayal of potentially deep vulnerabilities in the U.S.'s patchwork of voting technologies. What that alludes to is, what that's leading the reader to believe is, we got a patchwork, it's a hodgepodge. No, that saved us.
Right.
That saved us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that patchwork is not a vulnerability, it's a strength. The last thing we should do is nationalize and standardize everything, because then there's only one system that they have to figure out.
Yeah, and that really did help us in this particular instance. And what they were trying to do, again, this has nothing to do with influencing the outcome of the election, but what they were trying to do was, for example, delete Pat Gray's name out of the voter rolls. So Pat Gray shows up to vote, and they say, you're not a registered voter. Can you imagine that times 39 states with thousands in each state, the amount of chaos that would cause on Election Day? What would people say? They would all think that they were being blocked from voting from somebody, and they, you know, technically were, but that would cause mass chaos if they were successful. Now, luckily, they weren't, but that does not mean they won't be next time. And these steps,
we should be doing something about it.
They said that it went to 7,000 jurisdictions. One person with classified briefing said 7,000 jurisdictions.
Wow.
Also, a contractor who works for 2 or 3 days a week at a state board of elections detected unauthorized data leaving the network. According to the Council for the General Board of Elections, the hackers gained access to the state voter database, which contained information such as names, dates of birth, genders, driver's license, social security numbers on 15 million people, half of whom were active voters. As many as 90,000 records were ultimately compromised. So they took 7 million people, and what they were trying to do, can you imagine in Illinois, I'm here to vote. I don't have record of you here. What would have happened if 7 million voters in Illinois all of a sudden had their... Imagine what people would have complained. You imagine who they... In Illinois, who would they have blamed that on? They would have blamed that on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They would have blamed that on Russia and Donald Trump trying to get the people of Illinois... And imagine the riots we would have had in Chicago.
And it's worth saying there's no evidence in this article that at all points to Donald Trump being responsible for any of this. That's not even the accusation of the article.
Nope.
But I mean, think about this from the political perspective for a second. If you're a Hillary Clinton fan, in the article, it goes to great lengths to describe that Barack Obama had this information during the election, not after. Before the election happened, he had
called
all
on the hotline.
Yeah, he knew that this was going on and did and chose not to make a big deal about it to the public. Now, his excuse and the insider's excuse on that is, well, we didn't want to make chaos in the election. We didn't want to give them what they wanted, which may be part of it. The other part of it is, of course, they thought they were winning. So, I mean, they probably didn't want to necessarily change the focus on a massive breach of security that happened under his watch, right? I mean, that's not going to help Hillary Clinton. So that's kind of a big deal there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he could have come out and said those things before the election. He could have alerted the American people that the Russians were going after that. And for whatever reason, didn't, whatever reason you believe, didn't.
We did. And we didn't have any information other than our own intelligence, meaning we can read their words and you always take psychopaths at their word. Always. Always take psychopaths at their word. The psychopaths in and around Putin have all told us exactly what they're going to do. Osama bin Laden told us exactly what he was going to do. In 99, I said, blood, bodies, and buildings will be on the streets of New York within the next decade if you don't get this guy.
It's also when you were talking about the caliphate, where you got that from. That wasn't a magical theory you came up with in your mind. They wanted it.
That's why we have been telling you for 2 years the Russians are coming, because they're telling us this. Now, if you want to make a difference, you stay on course and you make sure that you talk about the Russian hacking scandal that has nothing, let me see if I can say this more clearly, nothing at all to do with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. It has everything to do with Russia. You understand that? We're good. Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Deputy AG Rosenstein and Sessions are going to testify today. Anxious to hear what Bill O'Reilly has to say with that. Anxious to hear what Bill O'Reilly has to say about the Russia deal as well.
Yeah. And the Megyn Kelly thing, too, honestly.
The Megyn Kelly and the Morgan, what's his name, Mueller story.
Oh,
there's
a
lot of... My gosh, it's every day. There's a lot of big stories that are happening today. And Bill O'Reilly will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. And he'll be greeting me warmly.
You guys are just, I mean, you're almost too close to each other. It's too warm.
It is.
It is too warm.
It is. I have to tell you a story sometime about when Bill and I went out and we did we used to do these tours together. We did a meet and greet. And the difference between the way people behaved around Bill O'Reilly and the way they behaved around me was night and day. It was hysterical. Maybe we'll get to that later with Bill O'Reilly next.
Glenn Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The one, the only, Mr. Happy Pants himself, Bill O'Reilly, joins us beginning right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
From BillO'Reilly.com. The one, the only, Mr. Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Bill.
Beck, you back to work, huh? After what, 8 week vacation? How long
are
you
off?
I was going to start with something nice, but you go right for the throat. So
no, everybody missed you, Beck. People were just stumbling around here in New York City going, where's Beck?
Yeah.
Where is he?
right. So how you been, Bill? How's your summer going? Hello?
That was it this week.
That was apparently not pissed him off. There he is. Wait. There you are. We lost you for a second. How's your summer been going?
Everything is good. Just a lot of stuff going on I got to deal with every day. And
You got to take the dog out to walk. I mean, you've been on quite a vacation.
And tweeting makes me nervous because I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing. But this is amazing.
Yeah.
We do live tweets. We're going to do them today in a sessions hearing. And we did it with the Comey hearing. You heard about that on your vacation.
Yes, I did. I watched it. Yeah, I did.
More than 3 million people were following my tweets. Wow. And I don't even know what tweets are.
Right. So, Bill.
I have the machine in my hand, and I'm watching, and then I write little comments like, he's lying, or this is ridiculous, or this is a pinhead right here, whatever. 3 million people. Mm. And then I understand that one of the Trump sons then was retweeting what I was tweeting. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know what that means either.
Right, you'd have to check the machine.
There was a whole avalanche of stuff that happened.
Yeah.
So that's my life back then.
Right.
That's
okay. Well, sounds good. So today you're going to be doing this with Sessions. And what should we expect? Less on the tweets, more on the actual
stuff. He's going to have his rap down. Number one, he knows what's coming, so he's got to explain the three meetings that he had as a senator with the Russian people. So he's got to
do
that.
That's easy.
And so number one, you're looking at a predictable set of Q&A at the top. But then it'll get interesting because he has to then say, okay, what did you know about Comey's firing? What did you know about that? And that's where it gets interesting. Because, you figure Sessions was in on the discussions to sack Comey. You figure that. And how he phrases that, how he puts that, why was he fired? What was the real reason? Then you get into interesting territory.
What did you pull out of Comey's testimony last week? Give me two highlights that you thought people didn't really understand or the news media didn't get right.
Well, the amazing thing was when he dropped the bomb, and it certainly was that he is a leaker, that he took notes that he wrote on an FBI computer and gave them to the New York Times because, that's what he did. He did it through an intermediary, a friend of his.
Yeah,
but, if you looked at the senator, they didn't even follow up on it. I don't even think they were paying attention. It was like they were somnambulant. And I'm bolted up, my head bolted up, and I immediately tweeted, that's huge, that's enormous. He just admitted he's a leaker, the head of the FBI, going to the New York Times, a paper that hates the president. So there's got to be vitriol there. He didn't go to some neutral place.
It did show that he wasn't the innocent little Boy Scout.
He's a double dealer.
He's a political player. He knows exactly how that works. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it just destroyed any sense of nobility that he might have had, because he was trying, and every senator, oh, you're the biggest patriot. Paul Revere is nothing on you. You know, all it is crap. All right. And then, oh, by the way, I'm a leaker. I did a leak that I wanted the president of the United States to look bad and hurt him. And I went, whoa. So that was the biggest thing.
What was this?
The second
thing
was he called Trump a liar straight out. And he did that because he was truly insulted, Comey, that Trump said the FBI is chaos, that it was mismanaged. So, look, I understand the emotion there. But, you know, that was a pretty big thing for an FBI chief to do.
So, again, you didn't pull what I pulled out. And this is the biggest thing of all, especially with the news that's coming from Bloomberg today. And that is the Russians are coming. We spent all last week with everybody talking about Comey and Trump and Hillary Clinton, when we should have been talking about the Russian hack. I don't know if you saw the report that came out today from Bloomberg. It is an exclusive. 39 states. Now, it didn't affect the election, but as Comey said last week, it will affect 18 or 20 if we don't do something. They got into 39 states. That's double the amount that has been previously known. And they got into the actual statewide systems, thinking that it goes statewide up instead of at the grassroots. That's the only thing that saved us, was they were thinking like Soviets and not thinking like Americans. And they hacked in as many as 7 million voters in Illinois could have had their registration wiped clean. That's significant.
Absolutely. That's a huge thing. The reason I believe that didn't get more attention, and I don't think the Bloomberg thing is going to get a lot of attention either, but you're very smart to point it out, because it is frightening how dependent we are on this technology and how the technology can be used by criminals, and that's who these Russians are, to, you know, harm a nation.
Right.
But people, I think, know that. I think they know that espionage was...
Yeah, but Bill, this is different. They were not... There's no evidence that they were trying to work for Trump or for Clinton. They were just trying to cause chaos.
Don't you think most Americans know that?
Yeah, I do.
Don't you think they know?
I do, but I think we need to stop all this political nonsense and start focusing on, okay, wait a minute. That in any, tell me during Ronald Reagan, that wouldn't have been called an act of war.
Different world now.
It is a different world.
The primary goal of the opposition party, the Democrats, and the media, the national media, their primary goal is not holding Putin accountable for anything. It's destroying Donald Trump. So anything that doesn't play into that narrative is shunted aside.
So then shouldn't we, as defenders of what we believe is true, shouldn't we then be saying, okay, stop, watch the other hand, don't pay attention to this, pay attention to this, because this is going to actually affect our republic, where the nonsense of, you know, did Donald Trump, was he in collusion? That's nonsense. This is important.
But here's the problem with a story like that, is that you don't have any other follow other than what Bloomberg has put out and what we really already know, that Putin and his hackers were trying to, as you put it, create as much chaos as possible in our election. Is that an act of war? You could say it's a hostile act. I mean, I don't know whether it rises to the fact that we start to, you know, lob...
I'm not saying that we do, but I know that in any other time period, that yes, would have been an act of war.
I'll see that point too, yeah. Beck, and it pains me to do it.
you seem like just, getting... Like, may I say something? Getting away from, you know, the grind every day, you seem happier than I've possibly ever even suspected you could be.
Happier.
Yeah, you seem
almost, dare I say it, less morose.
I don't have to commute into New York City every day, so yeah. That is enormous.
Yes.
The rest of it I'm not going to comment on, although I will tell you that over a 20-year period at Fox News, I worked as hard as a human being could possibly work.
No.
And now I don't have to work
No,
that
I saw you. I saw you. I saw you arrive, and I saw you leave.
You know, those things make you a little more buoyant.
Yes.
Word of the day?
Buoyant. We'll say it with you.
So another good observation from Beck after an 8-week vacation. He's refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah. And more buoyant.
Yeah. When's your vacation up, Bill?
I never go. I mean, somebody's got to keep an eye on this country.
Right. You know. Okay, so let me go here. It came out last night that Donald Trump may be considering dumping the special counsel Mueller. What do you think of that idea, and what will happen if he does?
Well, number one, I really don't analyze gossip, and that's what that is. So that would be a bad move if Trump did that.
Very.
I don't think he will. I think there's mischief afoot. I think that these kinds of things get out there for a reason.
Well, okay, hang on. Here's how it came out. Last night.
I know how it came out.
Yeah, the head of Newsmax met at the White House, left,
right.
Went to PBS, said it on the air. So somebody in the White House was talking to him, and...
But Ruddy was clear, head of Newsmax, Christopher Ruddy, I know him, you know him. He's an honest man. He was clear that nobody told him that. He just surmised it. Uh-huh. Or he took something, you know, or this is a deduction of his.
So Wait. I've been to the White House. I've been in the Oval. You've been in the Oval. That's a condition of even being in the Oval. You can't ever quote the president.
Yeah.
You can say, I felt that this might have been what he was thinking, even if he said it to you. That's the way you have to phrase it.
I just don't analyze gossip stuff like that. To me, if there is a official announcement, there's something going on because Spicer dealt with it, too, in a coy way. Coy, another word of the day, C-O-Y, coy. Spicer, who is a zombie of the greatest order, when he starts to play those kind of games, well, we didn't really say that, but, you know, let's see what happens. You know that they're trying to create mischief. Which is what the Trump White House does. It plays like a cat in a ball. It plays, you know, and throws these things out. I don't think that's a good thing for President Trump. Yeah. I think he probably disagrees with me on that. But they do this, you know, to be provocative. I don't know why. But right now, I don't think Mueller is going anywhere.
Okay. We'll be back with Bill O'Reilly, and he's got a book or something for Father's Day that'll be great, and it's at BillO'Reilly.com. It's Killing Fill in the Blank, and your father will love it. Who are you killing this time, Bill?
You, Beck. Boy, I'm going to miss you probably more than anyone.
Oh, I feel like the end of Wizard of Oz. That is so sweet. Why are you going to miss me? Are you going away?
No, but if I, in the book, if you get, you know.
Oh, if I get off.
If you get killed.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Okay. Well, at least we know how it ends.
Because I'm your biggest offender and you know it.
The killer was Bill O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to Bill in just a second. Also, you can listen to him every day on his podcast at BillO'Reilly.com, BillO'Reilly.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. I am really inspired by a story of an environmental attorney who dared take a stand against big business. And it's not any business, it's DuPont. He fought hard to take him down, and he didn't stop until he won. Look at all the politicians who say, we're fighting for you, but they're in the pocket of Wall Street and the corporations that make financial gains while they're sacrificing the safety of the American people. If you care about the air that you breathe, water that you drink, and food that you eat, visit projectblindsided.com and join the movement today. That's projectblindsided.com.
888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly, he used to do some TV show I heard about when I was young, and now he is on the radio with us, and we are thrilled to have him twice this week. Usually he's on Fridays. We're thrilled to have him. Welcome back to the program, Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
Hey, Beck, I'm here. I'm ready. What do you have for me?
Okay, so let me go over the Megyn Kelly thing. When did journalists stop being journalists? When did it become controversial to have someone on television who is a flaming nutcase and hold his feet to the fire and say, really? When that person has White House press credentials and has been normalized by the president's son by being on there, Roger Stone is on his program, actually co-hosts his program or fill-in hosts. Why is that controversial for Megyn Kelly to have him on?
Well, I don't follow this guy. And I had to actually ask, does he have a radio show?
Not really.
And he's on the internet, right?
I think he's on some small stations.
But, I mean, be careful of making fun of people who are only on the internet right now. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm not making fun of him. I didn't know where he was or what his distribution was.
Yeah.
He's got a quite successful internet following.
Right. And The from what I understand, and again, I'm not an expert in this guy at this level. I haven't followed him, but the people up in Sandy Hook in Connecticut were appalled when he came out and said that the killings up there, the children, may not have been done by the nut that did it.
No, he didn't say they may not be done. He said it was a state that none of those children are dead.
It was fake. It was synthetic.
Yeah, it was shocking what he has said, and he stood by that.
Well, kind of.
What can I tell you? I mean, it's. I understand why the parents and the families of the children are
right. So I understand the families 100%. 100%.
If it were me, then I would not have done the interview because I know that doing the interview and giving this guy a platform would bring more pain to the family. So therefore, as a journalist, I would have made the decision not to do it.
So would we have not done an interview with Osama bin Laden?
No, you would have, because there you're talking about policy. You're talking about a guy who has power.
Okay, how about Charlie Manson? Should we have ever done an interview with Charlie Manson?
That's an interesting question.
I just don't
have to do an interview with a guy like Manson because you're doing it as a crime story.
Yeah, but this is a guy who has White House access and is making an impact with crazy stuff.
Does that make it right? I don't care if the guy is vice president. Does it make it right? See, I'm going on a personal level. I make decisions like this all the time. I would not give him a forum. Now, you got to assume Kelly's going to kill him, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going to cut him up and make him look bad. But I say any sane person knows that that's crazy, what he did and what he said. And so why are we legitimizing crazy?
But one person who doesn't seem to know that is the president.
The side of the family, Your Honor.
Yeah, one group that doesn't know that seems to be the people around the president, as they've given him a White House press credential and continually appear on his show. We'll be back more with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com in a second.
Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
It's, some would say that it's an honor, it's a privilege. We think it's more of a chore to have Bill O'Reilly on twice this week at BillO'Reilly.com, where you can hear his podcast every day and hear what he's talking about and the news of the day. You can follow him today on Twitter. I would assume it's at Bill O'Reilly, but he doesn't know, seeing that he referred to his phone as a machine.
Yeah, I think it is at Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
And if you want to email me or anything, it's bill@billoreilly.com. But I appreciate that. We're going to tweet live as Sessions gets out there in a Southern drawl. And I think he'll. I think Sessions, the canny guy that he is, he's, you know, he's been around forever. He's going to do very well today. I would be very surprised if they get him off his game.
Mm-hmm. Bill, first of all, when you're calling your phone a machine, you do have a book out called Old School. We should probably point out
that. So
it actually ties in very well to your book. Can I follow up on the, this is Stu, by the way, I want to follow up on the Alex Jones thing for one more second with Megyn Kelly. Because your point on don't give this guy a form is completely valid. In fact, we had the same conversation about this guy a couple years ago. Because we find him very entertaining and funny in a weird way. And so we would...
He's accidentally funny.
So we would try to play these clips and we would go back and forth. Do we give this more?
And I would always say, don't give him any daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give him any daylight.
So I totally understand that.
Beck is... Stu, let me get this straight. Beck is agreeing with me?
He was agreeing with you.
Three years ago.
But he's...
Things have changed.
Beck has evolved.
Yes. Well, the conditions on the ground have evolved.
Right. Yeah. So
let me... Is there value? Because as you pointed out, even you, someone who follows the news like crazy, one of the hardest working men in the news, didn't know that much about this guy. Okay? You didn't know that much about him. Mm. Is there value in exposing who this man is if for no other reason than to try to stop Donald Trump and the people around him from retweeting his articles, from going on these shows, from giving this guy the expanding sort of universe he's getting from the credibility from the White House? Because White House, is what is
the
happening.
The president has been...
I got your point.
The president was on his show and said, you have a great reputation. And I want to play. This is what he said about Sandy Hook. Listen to this.
They have staged events before, but then you learn the school had been closed and reopened, and you got video of the kids going in circles in and out of the building, and they don't call the rescue choppers for 2 hours, and then they tear the building down and seal it, and they get caught using blue screens, and a email by Bloomberg comes out in the lawsuit where he's telling his people, get ready in the next 24 hours to capitalize on a shooting. So Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids.
Oh, my God.
And it just shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors. I mean, they even ended up using...
So
photos of kids killed in mass shootings
So is there a reason to expose him to stop the administration from giving him credibility and retweeting his stories?
Well, number one, it's always the greater good that good people, fair-minded people should go for. And the greater good is to not give him a forum, in my opinion. Number two, the Trump administration tweaks. They tweak the mainstream media because it's war between them. This is a propaganda tweak. I would not have done it. I regret that any administration would credential somebody who says something like that. But is it a central part of their presentation being the Trump administration? No. It's a small offshoot that I would say most people aren't even aware of.
Well, it goes to fake news. He's saying, CNN is fake news.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why they're tweaking, whoever made this decision to credential the guy did it to go, look, if you can play that game, we can play it too. And look at this, we're going to make the theater of the absurd and credential him. But again, it comes down to the families for me.
Okay.
The pain that any parent experiences when their child is killed, overrides any political thing or any journalistic thing. And so I would not put him on my program. And, you know, why do you think they're doing this, Beck? Why do you think they're putting him on?
Oh, I think because it will garner...
One word, Beck. Begins with an R.
Yeah, I was going to say, it will garner ratings. I think it will garner ratings.
You haven't lost your edge, even though you took a 10-week vacation.
Now it's 10. That was 10. It was 2, then it was 8, now it's 10 weeks.
So let me switch gears with you. Let's go to North Korea.
Wait, let me make one more point.
Oh, dear God.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right. It was a lot easier when you weren't there and Stu was running the show.
Thank you.
Kelly's opening with Putin got 6 million viewers. Okay? Kelly's second with the sportscaster, Aaron Andrews, 4 million viewers. Okay? This is a problem. Ratings. So they're hoping that this and the controversy it generates, and it is, we're talking about it now, will get her back up there. Nothing wrong with wanting good ratings. But again, you have to weigh the greater good. Next question, please.
All right. Couldn't disagree with you more. But let's go to North Korea. They just released. Remember the kid who stole the poster was sentenced to like 15 years hard labor. They just released him. However, the new news that is coming out that was released this morning. A couple of hours later, it was released that he's been in a coma for a year. And he's going home for medical reasons. They say he ate something that didn't agree with him and put him in a coma.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that happens all the time in some fast food operations we know of.
Right.
Look, I don't know why we're... What are you going to do about North Korea? I mean, it's another situation where there's nothing you can do about these savages. They do what they do. We have to contain them. So they don't attack Japan with a missile. But is anybody surprised that North Korea is a human rights violator? I mean, they don't even feed their own people. You know, their own people are in comas because they don't have any food. I mean, this is how pernicious this thing is. Now, I understand Dennis Rodman is over there again.
Yes, he is.
You know, so there'll probably be a lot of cross-dressing going on right now in Yangyang.
What do you think of Dennis Rodman going over there?
Look, Dennis Rodman needs what, Beck?
Medication.
It begins with a P.
Publicity.
Publicity, because nobody's paying attention to him. How do you get publicity? You go to the only country in the world that wants you. That's it. There are no, every other country, you go, look, you can't come here. You have too many earrings in your face. We don't want you scaring the children. You can't come. But North Korea will take you. So you go.
Last topic. Theresa May. She calls for a vote. I keep thinking of the Wall Street phrase, pigs get slaughtered. She thought she was going to increase her power, and it turned around. It's great that you bring a dog to this. It shows a real heightened professionalism.
Does anybody want a corgi, by the way?
No.
I'll have her around.
All right. So what do you...
House, the loudest dog in the world. And I don't make any jokes about me and the dog. But
no, I think I'm you walking around... No, seriously. Up. I'm imagining you now in some, like... I don't know, some
the
shorts,
house coat,
a t-shirt, slippers, and a little dog.
I have sandals and a t-shirt on, Beck.
Yeah,
you're right.
Theresa May.
What do you want to know about her?
I want to know what do you think is going to happen with Brexit, and how stupid of a move was that?
Well, I don't follow British politics very closely, but Brexit is going to happen. And it's a pure immigration play. That's why the British subjects voted to leave the EU, because they were tired of people coming into their country. They had no idea who these people were, but if they had an EU passport, bang, they're in. And, you know, they were tired of it, so that's why they're out. Now, as far as Mrs. May... She comes across to me as a rather boring person. Mm-hmm. And I think that the British people are just saying, she's just too boring. Let's get someone else. I think it's all about boredom, Beck.
Wow, if you're they boring Brits, that's really boring.
Yeah, she's really, you know, one... she's not Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher, you know, she threw the hand grenades. She had the hair that just went up so high. You go, how high is that?
See, look, may I ask...
But this one... You know, hello. You know, they've had enough.
Wow,
they,
just
you
know, I mean,
this is
like
deep analysis.
I didn't think we'd get a Theresa May impersonation.
No, I don't think
today.
So. And I mean,
come on, Ed, you must now sit down and shut up.
Listen to Bill O'Reilly. I mean, he is letting his hair down. He is
letting his hair down.
He's got that one hair on the top, and he's letting it all the way down. So, Bill, one last question. Yeah. I know you don't follow British politics, but this is a serious debate that I had on vacation because I happened to be vacationing with somebody who is from Scotland, and I said, what is the deal? You have universal health care. Why don't any of you have your teeth fixed? Do you have any
clue? It's a cultural thing. Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
Remember they just Peter like bad teeth?
Mm-hmm. He had the worst teeth in the world when he was on the Ed Sullivan Show singing I'm Henry the Eighth, I Am. Mm-hmm. But then he's moved to California, and now he's got perfect teeth. So you're right. You know, in America, we want our teeth to be gleaming and to be straight. But in Britain, they don't care. And they eat a lot of candy over there. I lived in London for a year, and everybody was eating Cadbury like crazy. And, of course, their teeth fall out in there. So anyway, that's what's going on there, and I'm all sure right. Everybody across the country is very interested in that.
Yes, okay. Bill O'Reilly, Father's Day is coming up. I'm going to give you 15 seconds to plug your books. Go.
We got a brand new book called Legends and Lies of Civil War, which is from 9 to 90, ages 9 to 90. Terrific illustrations and you know, it really explains the war and terms that everyone can understand, and it's just a terrific Father's Day gift. We got old school, as you were kind enough to mention, Life in the Same Lane for a dad if he's an old school guy or granddad, Killing the Rising Sun about the last days in the Pacific War. So we got a lot of product in the bookstores, and you can give dad or granddad a premium membership on BillO'Reilly.com so they can hear the podcast every night. And we're going to have an announcement pretty soon about the big podcast, Beck. A little expansion of it because it's doing so well. And a lot of that's thanks to you. You have me on, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's just really heavy on.
very what gracious. Are you doing for Father's Day? I mean, are the, you going out anywhere? They're taking you to do what do you eat? I mean, do you go to, like, the brunch? Is Beck go to brunch? What do you do?
It's my day, and so I tell the kids, don't bother me.
Well, what a great dad.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's the kind of, that's the way I roll.
Ozzie Nelson.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't bother me. My day.
Bill, it is good to hear you. Good to hear you. So chipper, and we'll be following you and talk to you on Friday. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we'll see you Friday, Beck. Thanks for having me in, as always.
Bye-bye.
Finally, somebody is going to talk about the Civil War.
I know.
Finally. Thank you. And we finally get some information about that war.
Seriously, I don't know
it's
if
about
it's...
about time.
I don't know if it's Prozac, lithium. I don't know what it is, but I like it.
Yeah.
He is really...
It is a new
chipper.
Attitude.
Yeah, he's chipper and... seems happy, which never thought I would say about Bill O'Reilly. I used to call him up, and he'd answer his phone.
Beck.
Hey, Bill. You know, how you doing? And he'd always answer the same way. Miserable. Same way I always am. And I never thought I'd hear him happy. He's happy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you get away from the stuff, and you just start living a real life. And it makes you happy.
That's why we took a 12-week vacation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about taking a 52-week vacation.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We should be... We're just sitting here. Pat has been having a problem with his email box of... he can send an email to himself, and it will go to junk.
Winds up in my junk mail. I'm sorry, you don't want to hear from you.
It may be learning from us.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's possible.
Other users see Pat Gray as trash.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Well,
that's helpful.
But we were talking about an app or a service, Sanebox, that actually helps do this. And we started talking about different apps. Maybe we should spend 15 minutes on some really great life-saving apps tomorrow.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.